You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can always thank you, that we need to thank you for all that you're doing every single second that we don't even understand. So thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, as we face all that lies ahead in your grace. Thank you very much. So help us. We've opened thy word. Honor yourself. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. We share together in chapter 21, John is adding that which helps us understand about Peter, about John, and about all that needed to be said, so that we can understand the book of Acts, etc. Now, having said that, and we share together, on the seashore with Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and two disciples. And our Lord has given them breakfast. They are now having had that in quiet. And now our Lord goes and speaks to Peter. And in the process of speaking to Peter, singling him out, we share together why Peter, why not John, why not Thomas? We shared all that. So without taking time for all of that, remind us, here's our Lord dealing with Peter. And Peter is where he is, and he's there. He hasn't got the place yet that he needs to be. And therefore, the Lord's three questions, do you love me, verse 15, do you love me, Peter? And the Lord uses the word love, which is the same word for God is love. God is love, his person. So therefore, and Peter responds, yes, you know that I love thee, and that's the word for Philadelphia. Phileo, the has to do with the brotherly love, friend, family, caring, but not God's love. No, he says, Peter said, you know, I'm committed, I'm a friend, I'm committed myself to you. That's what I've done. I like you. And the Lord asked the second question, and then said, feed my lambs. And then the second question, and the Lord does the same thing again. And Peter answers in the same way. And thirdly, verse 17, the Lord gives the third time. Only this time, as we share together, the Lord uses the word Peter is using, the Lord Jesus said, am I your friend, Peter? And Peter said, most certainly, being grieved, saddened, etc., sorrowful, distressed, that the Lord would change the word. And he did. He used Peter's word. Peter, you want to know? I want to know, am I your friend? And Peter says, surely you're my friend. You're my friend. But Peter didn't catch on. Not yet. And Peter, but God in his wonderful grace, Peter is going to go and God is going to use him as we shared all of those things, the why. So here's Peter, and Peter is saddened and grieved because our Lord asked and said what he did. And so Peter doesn't know. Peter is there. Hang on. That's where Peter's left. He isn't exercising. He doesn't understand God's love. He doesn't, not yet. What do you mean, God's love? God, 1 John 4, all the way through the whole chapter, God is love. He is love. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God starts and initiates the relationship that is needful, a relationship that allows God to be God. We're created in his image and likeness, and we are to understand God created us to be able to enjoy, to be able to be exercised, to be able to be wonderfully, wonderfully blessed in knowing him, the Creator, our Creator. Think of the Declaration of Independence, second paragraph. We enjoy these truths, etc. God created us. He not only is the Creator, he is the Savior. And God does a wonderful thing and makes it possible for us to know him. Peter has to wait for Pentecost. He was told to wait. He needed to have a relationship to God that requires God. In other words, you can't talk about God, know God, enjoy God without God. How are you going to enjoy his awesome person without him? His word, his ways, his thoughts, you have to know him. So therefore, Peter has to understand, he has to learn, and God is going to help him. In the meantime, until he receives the God, but let me say it a different way so I don't leave that in the air. Do you understand? God loves Peter. Peter, what's it mean to have God love you? God so loved us. God so loved you and me. What does that mean? God is our Creator and Savior. And God wants us to know what? To enjoy his wonderful person. You can't enjoy his wonderful person apart from his holy, righteous being. You can't enjoy the magnificence of God without understanding the magnificence of God. God loves us. God wants the very best. God's our Creator and Savior. God wants us to know him, to honor him, and like we shared in Sunday school, to be a son, to be a son, to have a saving, safe relationship to God, a relationship that we need to have to God. Now, having said that, Peter doesn't have that yet. And it's going to take Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, before that will happen. But Peter is put on notice. Peter is singled out. And Peter is grieved, as we shared together. And he's going to go, and God tells him each time, verse 15, the end, feed my lambs, feed them, my lambs. Then you come to verse 16, a second question, and he ends it, feed my sheep, my lambs, my sheep. First one, it feeds with food. The second, feed my sheep, has to do with caring for them like a shepherd. Shepherd them, care for them. Thirdly, verse 17, how does he end? Feed my sheep. God, Peter has an assignment. Peter's assignment, he wanted to do it. He just didn't understand. He, in and of and by himself, does not have the ability. He doesn't have what he needs. He needs God. He needs the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. I need to say it for us and Peter. Peter, you need to let God love you. He isn't yet. We shared all that together. It's the hardest thing to really be loved. It's just hard. We don't like being loved. Why? Loved means I'm going to be changed to who's loving me. God is loving me. He wants me to be all that He has in mind. Not what I have in mind, not what I'd like to have. He wants what He created me for. He loves me. And when I let God love me, if I do, and as I do, that love is going to change me. And you know what? I am loving to be loved. I am loving to be loved by God. I love Him. Why? He loves me. What do you mean? He wants me to be His child, to have a son, be His son, to be have a special, holy, happy, heavenly relationship to who He is. That's what He wants. I love it. And I love Him. You see? That's what Peter has to get to. But he hasn't got there yet. And when he gets there, it's going to overflow. The inflow has to, inflow has to get inside to overflow. And the love of God, we're being loved, and that love of God overflows. Like in the cup, it overflows. And then we love the brethren. Because He loves us, He's loving us. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, we then come down to verse 18. And we share together in verse 18, picking up thought, if I may, and here's the Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so, verse 18, if I can, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, unto thee, Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall take thee, another shall take and gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst, thou wouldst not. You don't want to. So, take that apart, verse 18. Peter, he's telling Peter a wonderful, wonderful truth. Verily, verily, amen, amen. I am telling you, Peter, when you were younger, you did what you did in your will, and we shared all of those things, and you went in the garden and drew your sword. You went before the court trials between the Jews and the Gentiles, and you denied me three times. You're Peter. Peter's doing what he's doing. One minute he's for him, next minute he backs off. That's Peter. Peter, that's you. Hang on. When, verse 18, when thou wast younger, thou girdest thyself. In other words, you dressed and did what you wanted the way you wanted it, the way you wanted to understand it, the way you wanted to do it. That's what you did, Peter. Okay, and we all know that from our exercise as we've been going together. Now, so verily I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, you dressed yourself, and walked whither thou wouldst. But, when thou shalt be old, when you grow old, what are you going to do? You're going to stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and dress thee. You're doing what you want to do, but the day's coming, Peter. Someone else will do to you what you don't want done. Someone else is going to run your life, and you're going to be a slave to it. So therefore, I'm going to go and stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. So something's going to awesomely happen. And so what's going to happen? Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So he's telling Peter about his death. Peter, I'm going to tell you all about your death. Now, hang on. In the light of that, Let me just go back a minute. Back over to John chapter 13. John in chapter 13. Peter in the upper room, you'll remember. And in John chapter 13, may I pick up the thought, in verse, you'll catch it, chapter 13 and verse 31. Therefore, when Jesus was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Verse 32, "If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify." In other words, God the Son is going to go and fulfill the will of God the Father and go to the cross and die. All of it is a glorious thing. It's the plan of God and is awesome from out from eternity. God's going to do that. Verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." I told them, you can't go where I'm going. Verse 14, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, ye also love one another." We've been talking about that. But Peter, you aren't able to do that either. Verse 36, "Simon," what did you say, Simon, back then in the upper room? He said, love me. I'm not your friend. I want you to love me. I don't want to be your friend. I want to be your God and Savior. Verse 17, Peter said unto him, "Why cannot I follow thee? I need verse 36. 36. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither thou goest thou?" And so Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, verse 37, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee? Now I will lay down my life for thee." Now remember what he's saying in chapter 21, follow me, feed, follow. Two words that aren't sticking. Because Peter isn't in the place. He has to be in the place for the will of God to be outworked in his life. And he hasn't put God in that place yet. He doesn't understand the love of God. He doesn't. And he said, "Listen, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go, God, wherever you go. I'll die for you. That's what I'm going to do." Yay. Boy, commitment. But then he's going to go. Let me keep reading. Verse 37, "Peter said unto him, why cannot I follow thee? Now I will lay down my life for thee." Verse 38, "Jesus saith unto him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice three times." It's a commitment. So what do we got? Here they are on the beach after his resurrection, and the Lord turns and pins Peter down three times. "Do you love me?" And Peter isn't connecting yet. So here's Peter. You want to go all the way to the cross? You want a commitment? You said you're going to commit yourself? Wonderful. Now, little piece to fill in. Over to chapter 18, John chapter 18, at least one little piece to help us. In chapter 18, picking up please, in verse 32, verse 32, "that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die." Our Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 12 and all of it, without taking time to do that, he told you, "I must go to the cross. I must die. I'm going to go." How are you going to die? "I'm going to die on a cross." A Jewish death wouldn't be crucifixion. But the Roman death is crucifixion. I'm going to be crucified. I'm letting you know, how are you going to die? I'm going to be crucified. Here's Peter. I'm going to go. Peter, I'm going to say, I'm going all the way with you, Lord. But you aren't going to be crucified, Peter, are you? Or are you? That's where John chapter 21, 18 and 19 come in. He's going to tell Peter something he doesn't tell everybody. I'm going to tell you how you're going to die. You wanted to follow me. You wanted to go to the cross. You had such a commitment. I want you to know you are going to do it. You're going to go to the cross and die. You're going to die just about a year or so ahead of the Apostle Paul. Paul, Nero's going to take Paul, and before Nero takes Paul, there's Peter, and Peter's going to die. Thus, back over to chapter 21, John chapter 21, signifying by what death he should die. Now, having said that, so, and I'll put it together again so you see it. Chapter 21, verse 18, remember, he's going to spread forth his hands. What does it mean to spread forth your hands? You're going to get, I can't move my arm, but if I could, crucified. You're going to get crucified. That's how you're going to die, Peter. You're going to be crucified. Tradition says some places he died upside down. He didn't want to do it like our Lord. He was so ashamed. Crucified upside down. We don't know that, but he was crucified. He's crucified. Peter, you're going to be crucified. You said you're going to go all the way with me. You betcha. When you die, your death is going to be my crucifixion, just like you wanted. That's what you're going to do to glorify me. Now, hang on. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, God's going to go and do his wonderful thing. And before we go to the next thing, go with me over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And Peter, before he dies, has this to say. 2 Peter and in chapter 1. And what do you know? Peter, before you, your last letter before you die, like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, here's 2 Peter, and going, if I can, chapter 1, verse 14. Knowing this, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, my body, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. He told me how I was going to die. That's what he did. Now, the next thing then, we ask ourselves, now God told them how he's going to die. Do you, and we shared this the other day, do you want to know how you're going to die? Do you want to know? God knows exactly the second, the minute, the hour of your death, doesn't he? He knows it right now. Peter, he told. But John, he didn't tell. But he told Peter. Because Peter was of the makeup and the mind. Because that's what that's Peter. So how do you, God deals with each believer differently to help us. Otherwise, we wouldn't get much help. So here we are going. So my question then to myself and to you and I, and we don't want to know our death. We don't want to know our day. We don't want to know the day of our death. Remember, we had a film way back on that, a whole film about a story. A person who knew the day, she knew the day of her death and what she had to go through to face it. And it was it helps you understand. What would a person think knowing the day of her death? So, God, we don't know that. What a blessing, God. How are we to understand it? Therefore, if you would allow me, may I just review your death. How's that? So, go with me, please, as we do this, a little exercise, if I can. Over, if I can, and in the process, how should we do this? Now, having said this, let me just say and then add and pick up the pieces. Genesis 2 and 17. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, absolute, two verbs, you will surely die, dying you shall die. Not just death, dying, you're going to die. You're going to die instantly the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're going to lose your relationship to me, said God, which you have. And they ain't. So the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to lose your relationship to me. That's called death. Death. Having no, what is death? The absence of life. Having no relationship to life. What is life? God is life. We all have existence. We all live. But we don't have life. Who has life? God does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we might have eternal life. So, here we are, Genesis 2:17, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. Instantly, they lost their relationship to God, and they would now die physically. Physically, death number part one, death part two, spiritual death, no relationship to God. Part two, you're going to die physically. Part three, Revelation chapter 20, the second death, you're going to die and stay dead. You're never going to be able to have a relationship to God, called spiritual death. Three, one, two, three. So here we are looking at God. Now, over to Romans. And if you bear with me, I'm just going to walk through it because I'm interested in your death and mine. How to understand it, since God isn't telling us how we're going to die. So over if I can, out to Romans and in chapter 3. Well, let's even go more than that, faster. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Hang on. 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, Genesis 2:17, and they who eat of the tree, you surely die. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 6:23. Turn the page. In Romans 6:23, if I may. And you know, what do we know? Verse 23. For the wages, how did you earn? The wages of sin. What does it cost when you sin? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, we're all born out of Adam. In Adam, we all find our existence, and we die. So, we're born. We're all born spiritually dead. That's how we come out. We have physical life when we can live and breathe and eat and drink, but we don't have a relationship to God. It's missing. That's called death. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. And you will note chapter 2, verse 1. 2:1 Ephesians. And you, hath he quickened, made alive, who were what? Dead. How were we dead? The wages of sin is death. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Sliding over to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Well, but until we got saved, we spiritually walked around the earth, ate, drank, go to school, work, homeschool, play, health, wealth. We did everything with no relationship to God. Go up and down the streets of the city and the television, wherever you want to go. And look, what's missing with us humans? There's no relationship to God. Where is God? Not about God. Where is God? You need to have a relationship to God. Otherwise, you have no relationship. What do we call that? Dead. You're spiritually dead. You already are dead. You need to have life. That's what you need to have. And so that's with God. So God, how am I going to die? You're already dead. If I don't know the Lord as my Savior, I'm already dead. I can't be deader. I can't be deader. I just have no relationship to God. And I need to have that. I don't have it. That's what God's looking for. Peter, you need to have the relationship. And Peter's going to have it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, or if I can, and you don't have to turn there, but if you went over to Revelation, well, do that one anyway. Revelation chapter 20, just so we don't just say it, so you read it. John chapter 20. And you will notice, John chapter 20, picking up, please, in verse 6. I'll read verse 7, context. And when the 1,000 years were expired, the end of the millennium, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, all the nations of the earth, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, verse 8, together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, having said that, back up to verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, no authority. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So you're not going to die spiritually. No. You're going to be able to go and just keep living. Why? Because you've been given the gift of eternal life in our case. So now, having said that, in chapter 20, sliding over, if I can, verse 12. And I saw the dead, it's the great white throne judgment, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The dead, they're already dead. They can't be deader. They just don't. They don't have any life. Don't have any life. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, eternal death, forever. In other words, you never can get saved. You never have a safe relationship to God. You live forever without a relationship to God. That's called hell. It's a gym. I have it now. Well, make believe if we don't know the Lord as our Savior. I'm already dead. I'm going to die physically. And I'm going to end up that way forever. I'm going to end up fully alive, fully awake. God's going to judge all the unsaved. I'm going to live that way forever without God. Without God. God loves me. We shared it the other day. The best thing love can do, love died on the cross for you. You don't want to get saved? What's going to do? What is God? You don't want to be in God's heaven? Well, where are you going to be? There's only one other place to be. That's hell, the lake of fire. There's only two places. That's all. Now, that's sobering. God, you aren't telling me the day of my death. No, I'm telling you, you need to know the Lord as your Savior. Why? So that you have life. Because you're already dead. You need to be saved. You don't need a ticket to heaven. You aren't need to be gooder or better. No. You need to have a wonderful relationship to God. You need to go from death to life. A relationship. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you know in Proverbs chapter 14, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Chapter 14, verse 12. So what's all right? What's wrong with what I do, what I believe, how I think? It's the wrong way. It never gives you life. How am I going to get life? God. Where God? I don't know whether God cares. God loves you. God died on the cross to save you. Why? God loves you to give you life. That's what he wants. That's what you need. So when I have life, the state of death is not a problem, because God takes me in my state of death and gives me life, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. Now, to see that, and you know, all we like sheep, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has turned each one of us in our own way. We're all that we want to do. Sheep. We're sheep. We're sheep. And God tells us we're sheep. We just read it in John, and when you read John 21, 15, 16, 17, lambs, sheep. We're sheep. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sheep. Now, before we do that, go with me over that so you enjoy that. Sheep. Sheep. Sheep need to be saved. Sheep go all over the place. They're very, very vulnerable to get anything. That's us humans. We do what we want, disconnected from the realities of life, as if we were immune from them. But we aren't. But we think we are. Now, over if I can, in the light of that, over to John, Gospel of John, chapter 10. And in John, chapter 10, picking up and you would know, in John chapter 10, picking up, in chapter 10, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, this is about the shepherd, our Lord is the shepherd. Think of Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, he leadeth them out. They're his own sheep. They're his own sheep. Christ died to save the sheep. The sheep need to trust the shepherd. They need to trust the Savior. Chapter 10, if I can, verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I'm the door. I'm the door to the pasture. Feed my sheep. Peter gets his act right with God, what's Peter going to do? He's going to point to Christ. He's the shepherd. That's the assignment. Point the servants, sheep, point to the shepherd. Shepherd. They're his sheep. Christ died for them. He died for them. Everyone on this street and your street, he died for. They're all to be saved, but they don't want to be saved. Or whatever. But they do. God died for them anyway. And he died. Sliding down, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Wonderful. Sliding over to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I have given unto them eternal, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They're my sheep. They're mine. I died for them. I want them to be saved. Peter, that's what's your assignment? I'm gonna get your act right, and I'm gonna have you look to me for real. And you're going to be able to say, Peter, I'm going to say to Peter, do you love me? And Peter's going to say, I love you. I love the love that you have for me. And I am going to exercise that love that you have for me. And I'm going to love you with it. I'm going to want everything you want, God, for my little life, even crucifixion. I want everything you want for me. I love you. For my life, I love you, God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Psalm 39. In Psalm 39, what do we know about death? And in chapter 39, here's David. May I pick up in the light of the context? Verse 4, 39, 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, that it is that I may know how frail I am. See, well, I'm going to keep living and living and living. Well, you may not. Your body's going to age, etc. No matter how you cut the cookie, you're going to go. It's going to go. So David said, I need to know how frail I am. I'm here for the moment. My days are numbered. You know them, God. You know them. So I want, and you aren't telling me how many, but you know the days. And I'm telling you, I know I'm facing the casket and the ground. Hang on. Now, if I can, verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. David, what are you saying? God knows my days. His time with all of its millennium, thousands of years, as it were. And then time answers to eternity. What are you saying, David? My days are a little drop in the midst of time. They're just a little drop. They are as a handbreadth. And the very best of them, the very best, remember we've done this, the very best week of my life, the very best week of my life, the very best day of my life, the very best minute of my life is vanity. See, are you trusting you're going to do the best you can? You're trusting everything. I did the best I could. The best that you have, the best minute you have, is but a moment. And it never saves you. It's all vanity. You left God out of the picture. If you don't put God in the picture, how are you going to have life? Well, I'm going to church. Goody. I go to church. I read my Bible. Good. But you got to receive him as your Savior. He's the source of life. He that hath, 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that is not the Son of God hath no life. That's all. I either have the Son or I don't. But I'm religious and I'm a preacher, and I read the Bible. Good, but that doesn't make me saved. What makes me saved? The Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, you're going to get it straight? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Peter's going to get it straight. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, therefore, putting it together a little bit. Do you understand? Over to Genesis. Thank you. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis in chapter 3, picking up, please. And remember, we did all these things. Chapter 3. And may I pick up, please, going directly, if I can, verse 17. Adam, the results of Adam and Eve's sin. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. I'm going to curse the ground. Remember Genesis 2:17. You're made of the dust of the ground. The weeds, do you ever notice how, you know, you clean the ground nice and you want it to look nice, even with all of your efforts? Do you know that plain piece of dirt is going to be full of something very long? It doesn't take much. You can't keep it naked. It's going to be, something's going to grow. It just grows and grows and grows. So God and the ground, you have bugs, disease, all of it, dryness, rain, all of that, all of it's there. Why did you make the ground so like it is? To be a help to you. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Don't you understand? You're going to go right back. I curse the ground so that you would be reminded of your existence. You're here for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It can't. The ground's cursed. To help you understand, you are of the ground. So the ground, the struggle and everything, reminds us of ourselves, that we need to get saved, because we're only dust in this physical body. God puts us, a house is a physical being, physical dust. The person living inside the house, that's us. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, do you understand that? God said, I did it all to help you. I made everything, dust, dirt, bugs, disease. I cursed the ground to try to help you. So you understand, that's your body. You're going to go right to it. And if you take it, take your body and put it in the ground and give it a little space and come back and look, all gone. All gone. Where's it gone? Back to the dust. In Flanders Field, the poppies grow, you know. It's dust. Dust. That's what you're doing. Well, now, having said that, two things. I hope I got a little bit, trying to help you. He isn't going to tell us the day of our death. Peter, yes, but not us. Why not? Because you're already dead. And when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God puts a request in to God's holy, happy heaven that someday you'll have life. Do you remember that? That you're going to go and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you say, God says, good, I'll put in a slit, little slip like on a kitchen to cook something. I'm going to go and put a little slip up so that you'll have life someday. Remember that? I'm losing it. Do you understand? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what on earth happens? Two things. John 5:24. I think it's 5:24. What's 5:24? I gotta go see. 5:24. Because after all, John 5:24. What does God do when we come to know the Lord as our Savior? God goes and does a wonderful thing. 5:24. John 5:24. Verily, verily, amen, amen, so be it. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he died on the cross for us, we believe him, receive him as our Savior, hath, H-A-T-H, hath, what? Everlasting life. When did he get it? When did he get it? Here's the water. Here's the water. Water's there. You can have water. Oh, goody. Goody, I can have water. Goody. Wow, I'm thirsty. Good, I'm dead. I have water, thirsty. God, is that what you did? No. The minute I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have the water. I can't believe. When I receive him as my Savior, he is life. I can no more be a home and house for God without having life. What does the life do? John 5:24. Eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but has passed from what? Has passed. Heaven, the word is used of heaven and earth passing away in the Revelation. Heaven, it's going to pass. Whole new earth. What happened when I got saved? I went from a state of death, no relationship, to a wonderful relationship. Where did I find it? How do I have it? God loves me and died on the cross to die so that he could have a relationship to me. When I receive him, his love, I receive Christ as my, God is love. I receive him as my Savior. And God does a wonderful thing. He comes and brings his life. He is my life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. So I'm not worried about death. And think of it, we don't have time. We never have time. Anyway, what you have to understand? Flesh and blood, John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection of life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You'll never die. John 6, he says, you'll never die if you receive me. You never will know death. That doesn't mean you aren't going to die physically, because he doesn't want this body. The body's cursed, as the ground is. But you have eternal life. The relationship that's missing is now there, and you have eternal life. Wonderfully, wonderfully eternal life, here and now. You can never die spiritually, ever. Do you understand that? So all I can do, 1st, 2nd Corinthians and all that, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. So you can cut off my arms and cut off everything and cut and kill me. You can't touch my life. My life, you know, I gotta quit. My life ends. My life doesn't end. Time has nothing to do with it. Nothing has anything to do with it. I have it. See? Where did I have it? In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have it. That's wonderful. No? It's a wonderful thing. I can never die. Oh, you could. I'm going to shoot you. You could do that. You can do that. Be a good shot. And whatever you're going to do. So what? So what? You can't touch me. I have a relationship. Death. What is death? The absence of life. the absence of God. I have no more. I'm no more in the state of death. I'm going to die physically, but I can never die spiritually. Why? Because Christ is my life. Christ isn't going to disappear. God isn't going to disappear. His love isn't going to disappear. And I need to understand, God has already done it. So you aren't going to tell me when I'm going to die? No. No. I got to quit. Thank you for your patience. I hope you got a little bit. Peter, he got his day. And I don't think any of you have your day yet. But God already has that day marked out. And what are we doing? Are we waiting for that day that we die? No. We're waiting for what? His coming. Because we'll never face death. And if we die, that's fine. But we aren't looking for dying. We're looking for his coming. That's what we're looking for. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and grace. And as we just stumble through this, God, help us understand. Help us understand, God, it isn't. You don't have to tell us what's going to happen. We already have it. We already have tomorrow. We already know everything, God. How do we know it all? In you. You have our whole forever in your heart and hands. And therefore, God, we're able to go forward in the thick and thin, the easy, the hard, the much, the little, in all that lies ahead, God, exercising life in the midst of death. And our God, we thank you and thank you and thank you. And those who know you not as Lord and Savior, may they receive you. And our God will thank you in it all and for it all. In Christ's name, thank you. Amen.